Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We were just reading how the Vishuddha Sattva, the substance of the spiritual world, appears differently as the different energies of the Lord become prominent in it. If the portion Sandini becomes prominent in this Vishuddha Sattva, it is the energy of sustenance, Adhara Shakti. If the portion Samvit becomes prominent in it, it is knowledge of the self, Atmavidya. If the essential portion, Haladini, becomes prominent in it, then this Vishuddha Sattva appears as confidential knowledge. That is Guhyavidya. You see the distinction between Atmavidya and Guhyavidya. It's not a distinction between one Atma and the next, but different kinds of knowledge. Knowledge of the self, and confidential knowledge, which is knowledge of ecstatic relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there's impersonal Brahman realization and there's Krishna realization. That's the distinction between Atmavidya and Guhyavidya. In Brahman realization, there's not much, we don't pay attention to the difference between Jivatma and Paramatma in impersonal Brahman realization. Okay, now, about this Adhara Shakti, the sustaining potency. Atra Adhara Shaktiya Bhagavad Dhamma Prakashate. More specifically, by the energy of sustenance, the Adhara Shakti, the abode of the Lord is manifested. Now, that sounds like what the Sandini Shakti does. Yeah, and that's when Sandini is prominent in the Vishuddha Sattva, okay. By that, energy of sustenance, the abode of the Lord, is manifested. Taduktam yat sattvata purusha rupam ushakti sattvam loko yataha. This form of the purushas, whom the Vaishnavas call the real sattva, from which his world appears. I have a problem here. I have an extra word, the. Let's see. I have to look at the. What's the verse number of this? 29 something. No. Yat sattvata purusha rupam shakti sattva. That's second canto. No? 12:8 what? 4-6. Well, here, I got 12:8. 4-6. Nope, it's no 12:8. Let me try 2:9. Krishna. I'm not plugged in. The computer just went off. Could you get me plugged in? Okay, I'm plugged in. Nope, it's loose. You gotta try to get a better connection, it's loose. Hold on a second, I had to revive. Yet sattvata purusha rupam shanti. Right? That is not 12th canto. Okay, now I gotta restart Windows. Why don't you just let me see your computer for a minute? Sorry, Ipro? Let me borrow yours. Oh, 46. Or is it 426? Yeah. Why don't you? That's okay. You can stay there. Why don't you read us the whole translation, or read the whole verse?
Tasmat taveha bhagavan adhata vakanam shuklam tanum svadaitam kushala bayanti yat sattvata purusha rupam ushanti sattvam loko yato bayamutatma sukham vachanyat. Translation. O Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness and the kingdom of God are all achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent person does worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees.
Right, this is the loko yato. Mm-hmm. So from that purusha rupa comes
lokaha.
Lokaha.
Yeah, lokaha, the spiritual word yataha from Vishnu.
Right. Abhayam. And Jiva Goswami understands that as saying that his Adhara Shakti is creating the spiritual world. Okay, I'm still waiting to boot up here. Well, it'll be here in a second. Just be half a minute. Every time I do this, every time I have to reboot the computer, it throws the icons all over the place. You know, they get scattered. Okay, finally. All right, here we are again. Tata Gyana Tatpravartaka Lakshma Vritti Dvayakaya Atma Vidyaya Tadvritti Rupam Upasakashrayam Gyanam Prakashate. So also, by the energy of self-realization, in its two functions of being aware, this is the energy of self-realization, Atmavidya, the energy of self-realization. By that energy of self-realization, in its two functions of being aware and inspiring awareness in others, the Lord Himself is aware, and He gives such awareness to others. Knowledge manifests as a function of Vishuddhasattva, located within the worshipper. The worshipper is the ashraya. He's the place where the Krishna consciousness resides, in the devotee. Krishna is the vishaya, he's the object. The devotee is the subject, the ashraya. So we're talking about knowledge, self-realization, atmavidya. But it's atmavidya in terms of worship. Of worship that is an energy residing in the devotee. So it's not just the Aladni Shakti is involved in worship, but the Samvit Shakti, the transcendental function of Samvit, is worship. Upasana. Upasaka. So the word is upasana. Meditational worship is the actual function of the spiritual energy of awareness. What are people aware of in the spiritual world? They're aware of Krishna, and they're aware of Krishna in a devotional mood. Thoughts have emotional content. Any thought, we have emotions connected to it. And if we think of pakoras, we have a positive emotion, unless we ate too many pakoras yesterday. And then we think of pakoras and we think of stomachache. But we always have, whatever we think of anything, there's always some emotion connected to it. So when people in spiritual world think about what's spiritual, they think about the Supreme Lord, and there's emotion connected to it. So even there's no separating the thought from the ecstasy, but we're making a difference between the Atmavidya and the Guhyavidya. Atmavidya is the kind of devotion, meditational worship that's going on throughout the spiritual world. The Guhyavidya we'll get to, and it must be something special. Avam bhakti, I see. He's saying the jnana is the process in which there is upasana. Meditational worship is in the domain of jnana. And then we have bhakti, that's something different. It's the same between jnana and bhakti. But jnana is also involving worship, or at least meditation. So he's looking at jnana as a form of worship, and bhakti as a higher form of worship. Evam bhakti tatpravartaka lakshana vritti dvayakaya guhya vidyaya tadvritti rupa prityatmika bhaktihi prakashate. And by confidential realization in its two functions of devotion and in inspiring devotion in others, loving devotion manifests as a function of Vishuddhasattva. Now maybe there's a problem with my translation. That sentence about the jnana, because the word upasaka was there, I translated that as worshipper. Maybe that's not so appropriate for the process of knowledge. The Upanishads are teaching jnana, jnanakanda, that's spiritual knowledge. But I don't know, and they teach what are called upasanas, meditations on the Supreme Truth. But I think it's a little naive to call that worship. I think that's confusing. you know, because devotion is given separately as the third category. This is meditation. So let me change the translation and change where it says knowledge manifests as a function of Vishuddha Sattva located within the worshipper. I'm going to change that to meditator. Okay, even though the word is upasaka, there were, in this context of jnana, better in English we say meditate rather than worship. Okay. Ete eva Vishnu Purane Lakshmi Stave Svashti Kvite. So these three functions are explicitly identified in the Lakshmi Stava of the Vishnu Purana. The functions of the Adhara Shakti, the Atma Vidya, and the Guhya Vidya. Vidya is also an Upanishadic term. Upasana, Upasaka, these are from the Upanishads. And so is the term Vidya. But actually, Vidya is used equivalently with Upasana. It's a meditation. Vidya is a standard exercise of meditation. And they're also called Upasanas. But we're talking about ordinary upasanas on the Jnanakanda level. And then the Guhya Vidya, the secret meditations, are on the devotional platform. Secret because they're not in the ordinary text of the ordinary Upanishads. You don't see this devotional side. You only see that in some special Upanishads, like the Gobaltapani and a few others. This is the secret meditations. Anyway, Vishnu Purana says, Yagya Vidya Maha Vidya Guhya Vidya Tashobane Atma Vidya Chadevi Twam Vimukti Baladaini. Now, this is a prayer offered to Lakshmi. I don't know if it's the material Lakshmi or the spiritual Lakshmi. We could look and see in the Vishnu Purana. Who's actually offering, maybe in the commentary I say, who's actually offering this to whom, under what circumstances? But anyway, there are four vidyas named here in this prayer. Not just three, but a fourth one also. The prayer, the translation. O auspicious goddess, you are the bestower of liberation as the wisdom of sacrifice. I'm using wisdom now as translation of vidya, but you can also think of vidya as the exercise or the doctrine or the special method taught in the Upanishads. That's vidya. Anyway, you could say wisdom. You are the bestower of liberation as the wisdom of sacrifice, the supreme wisdom, Mahavidya, the most confidential wisdom, and the wisdom of knowing the self. Four vidyas. Yagya Vidya, Mahavidya, Guhya Vidya, and Atma Vidya. Take all four together, and that's by those four means she's bestowing liberation. She is Lakshmi. Okay, now Jiva Goswami clarifies this a bit. He says, the wisdom of... let me read the Sanskrit. Yagya Vidya Karma, Mahavidya Ashtanga Yoga, Guhya Vidya Bhaktihi, Atma Vidya Jnanam. The wisdom of sacrifice is ritual activity, karma, Vedic rituals. The supreme wisdom is the eightfold system of yoga. That's the Mahavidya. The most confidential wisdom, the Guhya Vidya, is devotional service. And the wisdom of self-knowledge, Atma Vidya, is the process of jnana. Okay, that clarifies it. It just adds another one. It adds... Well, it's distinguishes between karma and yoga. And then also jnana and bhakti, finally. Although bhakti is given third, jnana is given fourth. Tat tat sarvashraya twat twam eva tat tat rupa vividanam muktinam anyesham cha vividanam palanam datri bhavasi. Because you, and I have a capital U, but that's wrong. It's not. We're not talking to the Supreme Lord, we're talking to Lakshmi. Lakshmi doesn't get a capital Y. BBT standard And it's just sort of arbitrary, but Prabhupada actually knew about it and he gave permission. We capitalize you or she only in reference to Srimati Radharani. But in reference to other the expansions of Radharani, they're all lowercase, she and you. But Vishnu Tattva, all the Vishnu Tattvas are capital. This is BBT arbitrary standard. Because you are the shelter of all of them, the idea is, you are the bestower of the various kinds of liberation and of many other kinds of success. Let me put in brackets, you, Lakshmi. Which makes sense in the context, because that's Krishna's spiritual energy. It's Krishna's spiritual energy in her various functions that's bestowing these successes of life. The manifold personal energies of the Supreme Lord in his transcendental abode can be identified functionally in the three main categories of Sandini, also called Adhara Shakti, Sangvit, or Atmavidya, and Ladini, Guyavidya. The material world is controlled by inferior reflections of these three kinds of energies. And there are also three progressive practices which serve as links between the inferior and the superior forms of each of these three. You get it? People in the material world are under the influence of the three material reflections of those three spiritual energies. And the Vedas are offering means for the conditioned souls to become unconditioned and reconnect to the spiritual energy. So these are links between the inferior and superior forms of each of these three kinds of energy. These are the disciplines of karma, yoga, and bhakti, which work together to gradually elevate sincere souls from the depths of materialism to the perfection of pure devotion. Problem is that I left out jnana. So what I'll do is, because the verse in the Vishnu Purana made it four instead of three, I'll take out the number three. There are superior forms. There are not three progressive practices. I'll take out the number. There are progressive practices. And I'll let there be a list of four. These are the disciplines of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. Okay. Which work together to gradually elevate sincere souls from the depths of materialism to the perfection of pure devotion. Problem? You don't like that?
Looks like it doesn't match, because the original idea was that we have three spiritual energies, and then we have three processes to link to these three spiritual energies.
No, but I took that out.
Okay.
It's not that there's exactly one process for each energy. Because
yeah.
we have four processes that are mentioned in the Vishnu Purana, and someone could come up with a bigger list of even more than four processes. So it's not a simple... I was wrong to say that it's a simple connection, one process for each energy. Yes.
And also, we have this Samit Shakti, which is Atmavidya, and then we have Kundalini Shakti, which facilitates Bhukhya Vidya, and then we have Adhara Shakti, but for Adhara Shakti we have no processes, no procedure to achieve this, or like to make a connection between Samit Shakti and Atma Vidya, which is knowledge of the soul, and then we connect Kundalini Shakti with the Bhukhya Vidya, which is Bhakti, but we don't connect anything with Adhara Shakti.
I don't think it works. It doesn't work. I don't think we should impose this connection between the energies and the processes. So what I'm going to do to avoid the confusion is take out this stuff in the parentheses. Just say it can be identified functionally, because the energies, what I'm doing is identifying the energy. Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, because apavidya and guhyavidya are processes. So let me just leave them out. Let me just say the three main categories of sandhini, samvid, and ladini. And not identify, you know, sandhini equals adharashakti, because adharashakti is a function of sandhini. It's not exactly equivalent. So I'm just simplifying the sentence. The first sentence just reads now, the manifold personal energies of the Supreme Lord in His transcendental abode can be identified functionally in the three main categories of sandhini, samvit, and ladini, period. Okay, not connecting them one-on-one with each of the processes. Okay. Yes?
Prabhuji, what I felt was sandhini, samvit, ladini are spiritual potencies in the spiritual world. But then when we say that...
But they reflect in the material world. There are counterparts of them in the material world.
So this Atma Vidya and all those things are in the spiritual world or in the material world?
No, they are introduced. They don't need for sadhana in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
These are sadhanas introduced coming from above, coming from the Vedic authority to help those who are in the material world revive their connection with the spiritual world. It's an interface between the two worlds.
Okay.
It comes down from the spiritual world and helps bring fallen souls back to the spiritual world, but it comes down into the material realm. Mm-hmm. There's no need of these processes in the spiritual world.
So how it is connected that this karma yoga is samvit?
I'm sorry?
How we can know that karma yoga is samvit?
What is samvit?
Samvit.
What about it?
In the commentary.
Yes.
You said the material world is controlled by the inferior reflections of these three kinds of energies.
Yes.
And there are also progressive practices which serves as links between the inferior and superior forms of each of these three.
Well,
these are disciplines of...
Well, no, I'm not going to say each of these three. Of each. And that does not get confused that we're matching up three and three. Mm-hmm. There are three energies, there are who knows how many processes.
Okay.
Only four are mentioned here, but there are probably more also. Mm-hmm. The Vedas offer all different kinds of processes. And it's not that... It's like bhakti doesn't involve only ecstasy. It also involves knowledge. It also involves realizing what you really are. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But how come karma and yoga, in which way they are connected with sandhini, samvit and ladini? Any example, like understanding can be given?
The connection is that everything that happens in the spiritual world is under the influence of sandhini, samvit and ladini. Uh-huh. Everything that happens in the material world is under the influence of their material counterparts, which we haven't named. The living entities in the material world, they should come back to the spiritual world. So there are processes to disconnect us from the perverted energies and reconnect us to the transcendental energies.
So it is not that samvit means the potency of knowing. So in karma yoga, it is how it is involved. No need to think like that.
No, I don't think, see, that's cut and dry.
Okay.
But, you know, because in karma, you have to do some thinking too. You know, you have to think, here's the ghee, what am I supposed to do with it? So you have to figure out, you have to think, you have to have some awareness of what the ritual is. You have to know what your sankalpa is.
Okay.
You know, so there's some bit involved even in the karma process.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, Prabhuji, but I cannot understand why is it said about Lakshmi Devi that she is a auspicious goddess, you are the bestower of liberation, as the wisdom of sacrifice? You know that only Vishnu can bestow liberation. Why is it said about here?
Lakshmi is being told that she is bestowing the liberation. We hear in the Brihadbhagavatamrita that he has deputies. Lord Shiva and his wife are authorized agents to bestow liberation on behalf of Lord Vishnu. And I guess Lakshmi is too. She's a distributor, but it's coming from Vishnu.
And is it so, because I know that many worship there as a supreme goddess, or so what should be proper?
Well, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're asking the goddess of fortune to give us liberation, and we're praying to first of all to Hare. So we're following that, but it depends on which Lakshmi you're talking about, and I don't know the context of this prayer, which Lakshmi it was addressed to. That would make a difference if you really want to know, is this true or not? It's not true if the prayer was addressed to the material Lakshmi. Then the person is not exactly right. But if it was addressed to the wife of Lord Narayan, then yes, she can probably be understood as an agent who can give liberation on behalf of her husband. Yes?
If this verse is saying that please bestow liberation, and that must be to the spiritual.
Well, she says you are the bestower of liberation. It's a statement, not a request.
Okay. Even that means it has to be referring to spiritual Lakshmi only, is it not?
It should be, if it's a true statement.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just don't know the story. We can look it up.
Okay.
What's the verse number? What's the number of this verse, the Vishnu Purana verse?
It's around
19118. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can dig it up. D Puranas. Text. Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Doc. Okay, I got the Vishnu Purana. 118?
118.
9118. Here it is. Oh, but it's not exactly the right verse. Indra said. Indra is addressing this prayer. Pitain retain chapali beer devayar daitya mulstada vadyamana disho. Okay, the demons were defeated by the demigods, they ran away in all the directions. Patalam chaviveshavai, and they entered the Patala Loka. Tato deva muda yukta shanka chakra gadavritam pranipatya yata purvam. They bowed down to Gadavrita, to Lord Vishnu, who was holding his Shankha and Chakra, all the demigods delightedly. Yata purvam asha sat tatrivishtavam. Well, then, just as before, they were able to go back to their heavenly positions. And they bowed down to Vishnu and went back to their places in heaven. Tatak prasanna bhak surya prayayal swainavar, and the sun regained his happy effulgence and went back into his orbit. Jyotim sisha yata margam prayayur munisattva, and best of sages, the planets all went back into their orbits. Jajwala bhagavams chochai charu deeptir vibhava, and the sun shone with all of its brightness. Dharme cha sarvabhutanam tada matira jayata, and all the living entities thought that they should follow their dharma. Trilokyam chashriya jushtam babuva dvijasattama, and the greatest of sages at that time, the three worlds became full of opulence, Shri. Shakras cha tvijasha shreshta punam shriman ajayata, and the best of the demigods, Indra, got back his opulence. Simhasana gatak shakra samprapya tridivam puna. Indra went back to his heavenly kingdom and again sat on his throne. Devarajestato devim tushtavabjakaram tataha. And situated in his regaining his kingdom, he offered a prayer to Devi, who was holding a lotus flower. Okay, I think we have to go back in the story. Let me just read the one first verse of his prayer, which is a few verses before the one that is being quoted here. The verse number is a little bit off. It's about three verses, numbers three numbers different than we quoted. Into the first says, he says, Namasye Sarvalokanam Jananim Abjasambhavam. Obeisances to you, the mother of all the worlds, who are born out of lotus, Shriyam Unidra Padmakshim. You are the goddess of fortune. You never, your lotus eyes never fall asleep. Vishnu Vakshastat Lastitam. And you are situated on the chest of Vishnu. So that's Lakshmi on the chest of Vishnu. It's not, I guess we can take it as spiritual Lakshmi. Now, the story before this, I don't know if Lakshmi was involved in killing some demons. Why she's being prayed to. Can I quickly read the story here? Why, what is she involved in this? Actually, this is story of the churning of the milk ocean. Yeah, I think this is Lakshmi that appeared out of the milk ocean. And that's, anyway, she married Vishnu. That's spiritual Lakshmi? Okay. I see. The demigods, they churned the ocean with the help of the demons. In the end, they got the nectar, and drinking the nectar, they got back their heavenly kingdom. And they're praising Lakshmi, and Indra is offering prayers to Lakshmi. I guess that answers that spiritual Lakshmi that's being addressed.
Yes. This I have a question from yesterday class also.
Yes.
Last class. This we are discussing what is Vishuddha Sattva, but as far as I understand there are only two things. One is Krishna and his energies. So what is the relation? What is this Vishuddha Sattva? In which category it falls?
Vishuddha Sattva is an important aspect of Krishna's spiritual energy.
So what is its relation with other energies like Kladini, Samvit, Sandini? Like we discussed, when it is Sandini is prominent, it is, you know, this and Kladini is prominent, it is confidential knowledge. I don't know, what is the connection, how they are, how it works, what it is?
Well, let's say it's a mode of manifestation. Just like there's three modes of manifestation in material energy, three modes of nature. So everything that appears in the spiritual world is also produced by some mode of energy, but there's only one basic mode. There aren't three separate modes. That one basic mode, Vishuddha Sattva, is just like, it's the energy of manifestation, of existence. But existence has three categories. It has physical existence, mental existence, and emotional existence. You know, on the spiritual level. So all of it together is the existence, the substance of spiritual reality. Put it all, lump it all together, you can call it Vishuddha Sattva. There's no separate three different modes. There's only one mode of existence in the spiritual world. It's all Vishuddha. It's all pure. It's all good. It's just a mode of existence or a basic energy of all manifestation. And there's one basic energy in the spiritual world, not separate energies. And because the Lord's energies eternally can be divided into these three different functions. Those energies that make things, give things substance or not existence, and those that give them knowledge, and those that give them ecstasy. You know, the energies of existence, knowledge, and ecstasy. Some bit sundini, some bit in ladini. They all manifest through this basic energy of Vishuddhisattva. Vishuddhisattva takes on different flavors according to how the different three functions are influencing it. They're not separated. You know, it's not like separate things. They're all intertwined. There's one energy. Within that energy, there are manifold functions. And those different functions create different manifestations. Yes?
Can you say that this is some kind of a original energy, like you know that Srimati Radharani, she's also manifestation of Ladini Shakti, but is it the same Vishuddhisattva which has more prominence in Ladini Shakti, still don't understand it also completely with this. What are we speaking about?
Maybe it's like this. I mean, from the personal point of view, Srimati Radharani is the original Shakti. The other function, she is in charge of the Ladini function. The other two functions are controlled by the Supreme Lord Himself in the two forms of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is the original Vasudev, Balaram is the original Sankarsana. So they control the Samvit and Sandini potencies, and Srimati Radharani is the ultimate controller of the Ladini Shakti, Ladini function. You can look at Vishuddhisattva as like the impersonal aspect of the spiritual world. It's really all controlled, it's all coming from the personalities. Krishna, his brother, and his consort. But you can also abstract it, you can conceive of it abstractly as just energy. So, like the equivalent of impersonal Brahman in the spiritual world is Vishuddhisattva. It's just the substance. You know, looked at as a thing rather than a person. Yeah?
See.
But actually it's all personal. All those energies are actually personal.
And then
but they have an impersonal aspect, and that's the Vishuddhisattva.
But there's an
abstract existence. Although existence is never completely separate from in the spiritual world, it isn't separate from consciousness and from ecstasy. But you just conceiving of it as a separate, just the existence. Yes.
And then when we speak about, I don't know, in one place it was said that this spiritual energy, they even Vishuddhisattva even manifest different forms of the Supreme Lord according to his mood, his desires.
Let's say,
so it looks
the Supreme
like
Lord himself, with the help of Balaram, manifests his forms. Balaram is the manifester of all Vishnu forms. Krishna's desire, Balaram does the work and expands different forms. You could just say they use the material that they use to carry out their desires, Krishna and Balaram, is the Vishuddhisattva. It's just the material that's utilized, the spiritual material, is Vishuddhisattva. But it's in the hands of the Lord of consciousness and the Lord of creation and the Lord of and the mistress of ecstasy. They are using the Vishuddhisattva. It's their energy.
Is it like a like an upadana karana of all whatever exists in the spiritual world,
karana?
Like upadana karana, this
it's upadana karana, the ingredient. It's the ingredient of spiritual creation. Yeah, the material. You know, in the sense of use clay to make bricks. The clay is the material. It's the ingredients. Upadana. Yes.
In the same way as we have Mahatattva as a material ingredient for material manifestation.
Right. Mahatattva, not looking at the deity of Mahatattva, but the substance. That's matter. So Vishuddhisattva is the spiritual matter. So the matter is in the hands of the deities who are using it.
Okay. It's much clearer now.
Yes.
And so this is Sandini, this existential potency, what is the relation with that, with this spiritual matter, Vishuddhisattva?
Well, on one hand, Sandini is rule is controlled by Lord Baladev.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Sandini, in the hands of Lord Baladev, is used to manufacture all the spiritual creation. And it's done under the triple influence of not only Sandini, but also Samvid and Aladini. Mm-hmm. But Balaram's coordinating it. He's creating all the worlds and all the bodies of the Lord and his associates. Of course, those embodiments, those bodies, those planets, are not just Sandini Shakti. They're all three Shaktis.
And the ingredients.
That's why Vishuddhisattva was talked about as manifesting in three different forms.
Okay.
Even though, first of all, it's a function of Sandini Shakti.
Okay. So the Vishuddhisattva is ingredients by which Sandini, Samvit, Kladini, they make different things. Something like that?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Yes, I guess first...
And also, I remember one verse, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yateta Tetra Pumana Bhavrita, and so on, that this is a state of consciousness in which we can understand Supreme Lord. So in this way, looks like that Vishuddhisattva, it makes its acts in this Atma Vidya or Guhya Vidya.
Yes.
Like Samit and Kladini Shakti.
When the living entity comes in contact with the Vishuddhisattva, then he can understand things properly. Then he can Brahmadarshan, he can see the absolute truth. When he gives up his connection with the material energies and connects himself to the Vishuddhisattva by chanting Krishna's names, by taking Krishna's prasadam, by seeing the deity, associating with Vaishnavas, we're becoming connected, and with the Shastras, we're becoming connected with the Vishuddhisattva energy.
Is it like we have these two aspects of Vishuddhisattva, Atma Vidya and Guhya Vidya, so dependent of in which what is the capacity of the practitioner,
yes,
if he is on the level of Brahma?
Yeah, of karma, yoga, karma, jnana, yoga, or bhakti.
Yeah. So if he's on the level of at least jnana yoga, so he can understand the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord. But if he's on the level of bhakti, he can understand personal form.
Yes.
Like this?
Yes. Jai Radha Krishna Guru.
Prabhu, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ladini Shakti is considered as the Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti, Ladini Shakti.
Yes.
The Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti is Ladini Shakti.
Yes.
And here it's considered the Guhya Vidya is Ladini Shakti.
But that's Guhya Vidya is devotional service. It is bhakti. That Pranaya Vikritir is bhakti, devotion. Who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani? And here it's being called Ladini Shakti and identified as The same thing, basically. It's a it's bhakti. Ladini Shakti is the energy of devotion. And that transformation of the affection of Radha Krishna is the same devotion, devoted bhakti. Okay? Yeah. Alright, we better stop here. It's 20 after. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.